Please stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mrs. Hagenbusch, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Inks?
Oh.
I just looked.
Where are our board members?
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
And Mr. Yule is not here.
All right. Under public participation, is there any public participation? Moving on to item 3, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Okay, moving on to item 4, board business committee reports. We'll start with finance.
I have Taylor from the Auditor of State's office here this evening, and she's going to give us a presentation on Ohio checkbook. It's something that we've talked about over the past year and looked at briefly, but now she's going to give us a more in-depth look at it.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry.
I just texted Chris. He is on his way.
Okay.
Do you want to wait for him? Or just
that's up to you.
Yeah,
do you mind waiting just a minute?
No,
so why don't we move to policy. Well, policy is Chris.
And Lewis.
And Lewis. How about community engagement, Pat?
Okay, I can do community engagement. Let's move on. Okay, for community engagement, we had a meeting and we discussed the pole banners and how they are going to look. I don't have my notes. We discussed the pole banners and the way they're going to look. We're asking for some more information, for some more ideas about the background for the banners and what we should actually put on the banners. We have a total of 72 pictures that can go up because there are 36 banners two-sided. So we can have those printed, and if you have ideas, obviously we're going to put up all the athletics, the band, the choir, drama, National Honor Society, but if there are other ideas, I'm more than happy to take them. All you have to do is email me for other things that could and should go up on the banner. If not, we will do duplicates. Protect the Pride will definitely be on at least one of them. Every Child Every Day will be on another, at least one. So
like Key Club?
Pardon?
Key Club. Some, you know.
Email me.
Okay. Okay. I will.
Okay. So that's in the offing right now. We Mr. Addis and I met with a PR firm to give us an idea of what their ideas might be to promote our message a little bit more in the public. It was called Purpose Land, and we would like to meet with it at least two others before we make a decision as to whether or not we're going to go with a company and which company we would go to. So there's one other company that Mr. Addis is very familiar with. I'm making myself familiar with another one that Barberton works with. So we'll be meeting with them sometime here in the very near future to discuss possible expenses of their services for what we want. And aside from that, we're still doing the new resident visitations. Due to weather, I canceled my last two walks for the new resident visitation. I'm literally visiting everybody who's moving into Norton, and if anybody would like to help with that, I can sure use it. I made up a card with all of the information as to how to reach administration at each building and at the administration office. Gives information about the website as well as our mission statement and our vision statements on here. So that's what we did in our meeting. Anything else?
I was just going to add, we are looking at securing sponsors for the banners.
Yes.
That
so that will not come out of district funds. And we have not made any decision whatsoever on a PR firm, if that is something that we can afford to do. Group just reached out to Pat, I believe, at Capital Conference, and so he gave them the courtesy of listening to what it is that they have to say. We have to talk more with Stephanie and about the budget. I'm not even sure if that's something that we can do, so.
That might be, that might be part of our long-range plan.
Yeah.
May I make a comment?
Mm-hmm.
The association, we have some middle school members who have written some mini grants, and they are going to purchase some sort of, I think, in-ground signs to put along the driveway with positive statements on it, and I also think cookies for parent night or something like that. So.
Oh, okay.
Food.
Food.
So I can get you the details.
Yeah, please.
Of that. They did that. I just signed off on it. So we're waiting to hear back on some.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to talk to you about that.
Okay.
Great. Okay, technology and instruction. We've met a couple times. Basically, each building has been kind of doing a self-evaluation to determine how they are meeting the needs of our students and whether they're meeting all the needs of all of our students, and looking at ways that we can improve that, what we're doing good and what we can do better, or what maybe where we're lacking. So we've talked about the high school, we've talked about the middle school. Our last meeting, we focused on the elementary, and Brady presented quite a bit of information with respect to our reading curriculum, our math curriculum, special needs, you know, emotional needs. That seems to continue to increase for our students, especially in the elementary. So we're looking at the staffing that we have and whether we're able to meet all that, and, you know, outside groups that provide assistance to the district. So after we get through all of that, we're then, you know, regrouping and discussing this and channeling it towards our overall district plan. So there's a lot going on in all of the buildings.
You know, when you start out meeting as a group, sometimes it takes a while to find your rhythm, and that group has really gotten itself into a good place right now. I think that we're you know, we're talking about things like academic flow charts, where our families would be very aware of, you know, if I want to end up here, I have to have a starting point here. You know, if I want to end up in AP calculus, then this is really the math track that I at least need to look at. Not to say that they could never get there if they were taking a different path, but, you know, vertical alignment, and we're looking at transitioning from building to building. We're talking about getting our staffs together, you know, our kindergarten teachers with our first grade teachers, just to talk about those transition skills, our eighth grade with our ninth grade. That group has created a number of opportunities too. Rod next year is teaching AP computer science. We're bringing that to the district, and that really stemmed from some academic conversations in this group. So a lot of good things happening mm-hmm. with that particular group.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing Mrs. Gerber has pointed out is that she is working on developing a middle school handbook type information thing with, maybe handbook is just the word to use, but it'd be increased information to get out to families about scheduling. And they're looking at different ways of offering specials so that we keep, you know, kids interested. It seems like there's areas that we can need to continue to involve there. So we're looking at different options, different offerings for our students. Angie, is there anything that you would like to add from the technology piece?
We met just briefly because we had already wrapped up the strategic plan. Usually I just check in with them to see if they have any building concerns. They did not at that time. And we touched on briefly ideas for the March professional development, just possibilities there. So very brief. Nothing really major or new to report.
Okay.
Can you talk just briefly about the NeoTech conference in March?
Sure. This is the 10th anniversary of a NeoTech conference. A group of tech coordinators in our consortium came together 10 years ago. We didn't have anything like this in the area. We were able to work with NeoNet, our ITC, and put together a free technology conference for teachers. Almost all of the presenters are teachers, so they get to learn from their colleagues. It's used to be at Akron U the first few years we had it, then we moved it to Kent, and now we've outgrown, and we are at the Cleveland Convention Center this year. So March 6th is the Teacher Day, and we're also doing a two-day, so the second day is for administrators to attend, superintendents, curriculum directors, and so the sessions are being formulated that way. We also have a robotics competition that we've done for several years. There's schools participating in that. We're also getting a lot of input from other districts outside, not just in Summit County. So we've been able to keep the conference free. We've got a lot of big sponsors, and it's a great opportunity for our staff. We do have a couple of people already signed up, Aaron Fulton from elementary and Trisha Fletcher from high school. So we have a few more spots left, so I'm hoping the teachers will take the opportunity.
Great.
So I'll say the superintendents have a goal of all Summit County superintendents being there, and that's really as a reach out to the work that NeoNet does for us, and to show the sponsors that we're supportive and thankful for their financial support, because I know that much is needed, not just in technology, but in everything that we do. Reaching out and discovering partners, it's sort of a brand new way of life right now for school districts, so we're excited.
Also, I'm not sure if they were aware about the computer repair and leadership course that we were offering as a pilot next year.
I would love for you to talk about that. Thank you.
So we currently have the TWE program where students can work for the district. They learn to help teachers, help us with technology issues or problems. Next year, we're going to offer one credit elective for students. They still would have to go through an interview process like they do for TWE. And they also have to have teacher recommendations. Not everyone that signs up for the course gets in, but it basically is trying to accomplish 130 hours across the school year, which is the time that they would be in a course, and they would be able to use that as an elective for credit. So it's similar work, but it's also giving them the opportunity, if they had a study hall during the day, that we could have them do some things during that time as well, if their schedule allowed for it. So it's a new opportunity. We're only piloting it with 2 to 4 students. We'll see who applies and how it works out. So we're going to see how it goes.
And will you be managing or overseeing
that? Yeah, and John Steiner too, the network administrator, both of us. And
that's great.
We're excited. It's a great opportunity for the district to get additional help in a department that needs additional bodies, and also a way for our kids to get experience working. I mean, they could go into a teacher's classroom and assist a teacher. Ideally, that's what we would want. So we're excited to see what happens with it.
Yeah, and I think we talked maybe a year and a half ago or something about, there was a piece on the news about a district out west who uses students to repair their computers, all their electrical equipment, because they're far more advanced on this stuff, having grown up with it, than we are, and it's something that they are able to train the student, and the student helps the district. So this is fantastic. I really hope it's a success.
Yes, we do too.
Yeah. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Policy. Hi, Chris. Thank you.
You ever one of those days where you're like, you have plenty of time, and then all of a sudden you look back twice.
And you have no time?
Yeah, exactly. So, one of those days, policy, we met 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Had a good meeting, talked about a couple things. There was an update to something from the state that came in about the inventory. We talked about it last time, but it didn't get put on the agenda, which actually sparked another conversation which we'll talk about in finance.
Okay.
Cindy, which we'll talk about now, about, everything in our school district has moved in the past couple years, so we need to actually re-inventory a lot of items, find out what we have, where it is, what we don't have, things like that. So we'll talk about that in finance here, just to kind of piggyback on that. We do have a first reading of a policy tonight regarding hazing and bullying. And Ms. Grass, do you want to talk about that? Because you knew a little bit more about that than.
Or do you want to address it at the.
Or do you want to address it at
the board meeting?
Yeah, I'll address it at the board meeting.
Okay.
And then we also discussed another policy coming forward later about some things with suspensions and making up work and coming up with a definite policy on that, that's in the works.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything from operations?
I'll just say this. We met on Thursday for an hour and a half, and we have a lot of work in this category for the district, a lot of things on the item list, whether it's roofing or blacktopping or windows or HVAC. The list is very long, but it's also been a group that's been able to get some things accomplished. It's the group that helped spawn some conversation on Bolo Sticks and obviously securing Eric's building at primary. So it's a group that's kept some good conversations going. We're ultimately going to have to pick a few items and prioritize them. You know, part of that may be we need to finance this roofing through PI money, because if the roof doesn't get fixed, then everything underneath that roof that still needs some TLC is going to be damaged. So we had a really good meeting, but it just made us aware of how much is always out there in front of a school district when it comes to facilities. It never ends. There's never a finish line. And so when we do go to look at these items, we'll just communicate with our community why we've chosen this item and why we've prioritized it, because the list is long.
Which particular building it seems to be the most need in terms of roofing?
Well, I would say right now the belief is that it's the middle school.
Okay.
Like we need to, this building needs a lot of our love and attention right now.
Okay.
Especially on the roof. We're still seeing some gym issues and some other areas where we're struggling with that. So we're going to set down that path and go from there. Really, the two buildings, NES and middle school, you know, NES needs parking. We need additional parking.
Right.
We fixed a little turnaround issue this year. But middle school from a roof standpoint is the one that needs our attention.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep. All right. With that, I think we'll go back to finance. Chris, we started there, but we didn't want to start with the Ohio checkbook presentation without you being here, so.
Okay, Taylor.
And for everyone who wasn't in the room during the introduction, my name is Taylor Wright. I'm here from the State Treasurer's Office today to go over the Ohio checkbook program. If I could very quickly just get a show of hands for anyone who has any experience with the Ohio checkbook program transparency initiative at all. Anybody familiar with it here?
We're familiar with it.
Not the first time we've heard about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to spare everybody the spiel if you've heard about it. So just a little bit of background into the process, and I've been working pretty heavily with Stephanie on this, of onboarding a school district to the checkbook site. We do receive a file via USAS, so your accounting software that you use within the district. We take that file, we format it, and we upload it to an interactive platform. What you're looking at right now is the landing page for the district's checkbook site, but you will notice that it's requiring a password. That is phase two. So we built the draft site using the district's data. We'll keep it password protected until I get the okay from Stephanie or the board. Every district's a little bit different as to how they handle the approval. But once that I get that approval, that password's removed, and then you all are able to access it, or any other citizen in the public can access the checkbook site. And really, that's pretty much it on our end. We've been really fortunate with USAS. It's a very easy software for our office to work with, and we've worked with hundreds of districts now at this point, so it's a very streamlined process. In fact, when Stephanie does go to upload an update file, we'll receive that within 4 hours. That's pretty much how that whole process start to finish works. And just a couple highlights, it's free to the district to participate. And when you all are live, that's what we call publishing the site, your district can be found right here on the Ohio State Checkbook site under our Local Government and Schools tab. And this is a great way, too, if you're interested to see if other districts nearby or entities nearby are participating, to scroll down here, and you can jump to here, you know, whichever you're interested in, but we've got everybody listed who currently has a live site. And these are all live links, so if you click on them, it'll take you over to that entity's site. Okay. And then did anyone have any questions before I went and got started on the actual demo that takes us into the district's draft site?
Just to have a question, is it always current and always correct?
So Yes, but that is sort of a double-edged sword. Because the program is voluntary to participate, it's also the frequency of updating is completely voluntary, just based on the nature of the program being voluntary. So we do have districts that update once a month. We have people who update quarterly or annually. So it's always accurate information, but is it always to date? That's dependent on the entity.
It would depend upon step.
Essentially, yes.
Thanks.
But you know, a couple of things too, just to mention for your sake, Stephanie, is that with USAS, UAN, and things like that, we can't have a month of data here or a live feed of data. So once it's entered into USAS and that month is closed out, then we can upload it to the site.
Well, the only reason I ask is because we will have community members that go, well, this is what it says, and that's not what it says, and this is what we, you know?
Sure.
So we talked about this before.
Right.
You know, I do remember.
So once a month, you're saying it's updated, basically?
If you would like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have districts, though, who update annually. It's really the preference of the board and the preference of your community. If there are people actively coming in here to look at it, and we call those active community members. And if you have an abundance of those, then you can update monthly. We also have schools, too, that if they are pursuing a levy campaign or they're going to pass a levy, they will increase the frequency, and we can always do that. If you're not locked into updating one way or another, we can always change it. So, Stephanie, if you wish to update monthly and then realize, hey, this is a little too much to add on to everything, we can bump that down to quarterly, annually, whatever you all decide, we can do that.
On average, what do most districts, when do they update?
I would say the average is quarterly.
Quarterly,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So you said that this program will work with the current program that we're using now, correct?
Yeah, so the accounting software that you're using right
now. Okay, so if the accounting software is updated daily, mm-hmm. what additional steps does Stephanie need to take in order to make you aware that
this
is going to go on site?
Yeah, with USAS, it's an automated process. So in the same fashion that she onboarded, where it's just authorizing a certain time frame of data, whichever that is, you know, entering the month or the year of data or what have you, and then you agree to send it to us. It's really a 5-minute process. It's just a matter of making sure that those months are closed out properly, however you would like to see them closed out before you send it to us. The sending the data file to us is not a laborsome process at all. That's a quick, pretty expedited process. And we also do work with SunGuard too. So if you guys decide to change your accounting software in the near future, we've worked with pretty much anyone and everyone at this point, accounting software-wise. So if you have a live site, we can transition it if you decide to change accounting software. That's not an issue. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else have questions?
I know we had talked a while back, or it was before my time here, but is it customizable as in the different categories, the different names, the different things, or is it a pretty standard thing that we have to alter, say, our numbers or account names or categories to what Dorset has at the moment?
So it's going to pull a flat Excel file from whatever it is you're currently doing. So your departments, everything like that, are going to be the same. Where we do customize the sites is with name redactions, particularly. It's probably our most frequent request. And we typically will replace those individual names. Although they are public records, we recognize that there is sensitivity with having this information so readily accessible online. So we can redact those names and we can replace them with, you know, board member, teacher, what have you, with anything it's applicable to. So in terms of what we display on the site too, you have plenty of options to customize there. I'll do a little bit of a deeper dive once we get into the site.
Okay.
Go ahead and punch in the password here. And then Stephanie, after today, you'll receive the link, you'll receive the temporary password, and you're free to pass them on to whoever you'd like while you guys review it. So this is the district's landing page. It's important to note that when you're a new user to the site, You've never logged on before. You will be prompted to take a tour. I encourage you to take that tour. That way you'll get a good view of what the public will have at their disposal in terms of tools navigating this site. So the concern that you'll have folks calling you, asking you how to use the site, really, that tour does a great job. We have not received any feedback otherwise. So go ahead and take that tour when you're prompted to do so, when you hop onto the site. But for the purpose of today's demo, we'll just break the screen down into the three major sections. So we'll start with the graph. After the graph, we'll pop over to our filters and views tab over here. And then lastly, we'll go by the line-by-line records. There are a couple things, though, that I do want you to keep an eye on as I click through the site. First, right up here, the number of rows. So that's the number of transactions. You're going to see we only display 1,000 of those transactions at a time. We do that solely for the speed of the site, because if we were loading 18,000 transactions, you would be loading for quite some time. But that number interacts directly with this total for all months, and these are both reflective of what's being displayed on the graph. Right now, you see we have a full year of data. As we click into the months, that will change. Those numbers should always be moving, and for anybody's reference who's reviewing this before the site does go live, you want to just keep track of those numbers, make sure ballpark they're where they should be. With USAS, it's a seamless process, though, so it's not really much of a concern. With the graph, the first thing you are going to notice is that it is interactive. So if I clicked here into elementary, you're going to see that the graph is going to change, and it's going to restrict it to just viewing elementary expenses. And then up here, we get a little breadcrumb, too, that tells you, hey, you're restricted to elementary. You've got a filter there. And if we exit off of that, again, we're going to be right back to our default view. So you can hover over these and get a little bit of information. Oh, for some reason, hooked into that. Let's see if I can just hover. Well, typically, you're able to hover over that, get the function description and the dollar amount within that description for that year that we're looking at. So this, in this case, it'd be 2018. The legend's also interactive, so same function. We clicked into high school. Again, we're gonna change there as well. And then the way that you view the graph as a default view or just an independent user is also customizable. So we build each site with a bar graph. That's standard for us. But if you were interested in changing the default view, you can absolutely do that. You can take a look at the pie graph here. If I am just a user to the site and I prefer the look of a pie graph, I can click over that. Stephanie, if you make the decision that you want to use a pie graph instead of a bar graph, this could always be the default view. What's happened here now is these months are on a sliding bar down below, and you can see the legends populated up. In this show more section, you can expand that out as you click into it. Really, the only reason that we do that is to keep the graph from getting congested, which, as you can see, the more we expand out with some of those smaller departments, that tends to happen. They are all there. We have a couple other graphs at your disposal, too. Line graph, which...
That's hard to read.
We have consistent spending. It's not incredibly pleasing to look at. And then a tree map, as well as a horizontal stack chart. I will warn you, those last two I haven't had anybody use. So if you want to pioneer that movement, please go right ahead. But they don't tend to be the most user-friendly.
What happens with a voided check or with like a refund, sure, anything like that? How does that show?
So let's see if we can't find one down here.
Would it just show as a negative?
And yep. So it's a negative and right. Let's see. There we go. So you can see right there, it'll have parentheses on it when it has parentheses on it.
Okay, that's a discount. But yeah, so if it was a voided check, it would show that check is voided?
It'll function the same.
Mm-hmm. And for instance, we give, like our fuel, we purchase fuel, the city uses it, then they cut us a check for it. So we do it as a reduction against that expenditure line item. So it's only showing what we purchase. So how would that?
So here's, let's go ahead and just take a look. So you're going to see, again,
okay,
those are all, and they're all in parentheses along the side here.
Slide up one second.
Fuel.
That 23, okay.
20,000.
And then it was posted to the wrong account, so then it was corrected, so you can see those.
Yep.
Okay.
And why those are necessary too, obviously, this is just more so to explain to everybody else, but it's going to affect your total for all months. If you're removing those, it's going to look like that was a straight expenditure, whereas obviously it was not. So, yep, those will all show up under reduction of expenditure if afterwards. This is a Google-styled search bar, so once you start typing, it's going to populate anything that you're interested in possibly seeing. So I would encourage you all to just kind of take a peek, like Stephanie, if you have more questions like that, just start by Googling, quote unquote, on the checkbook site, and you'll be able to see not only how it displays on the graph, but when you scroll down here, I mean, pretty much everything about that transaction. And reset. You'll see me hit the reset button a million times throughout this demo. It makes the sites very difficult to break, so I encourage you to click around, add filters. If you hit reset, it'll take you right back to the default view every single time. It's a great button. All right, if there aren't any questions on the graph, I'm going to move over to the filters and views tab.
You said you could redact names on this.
Yep.
So how would you do that, or would we have to do that?
So we would do that. You'd give us a list of the names that need to be redacted and what you would like them replaced with.
Okay.
And so we take care of that. And really, when we receive it, it's in an Excel format. So we're just working within Excel. We filter it, clear those names out.
Well, one of the things we had been worried about was under our descriptions on our purchase orders.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, we'd purchase a service for a special ed or for something,
right,
for a student, and the student names were in there, which is what we've been, this whole year we've spent really trying to clean those up, that they're not there, because we didn't want to take a chance and mistakenly,
sure,
put something there so we wouldn't know to tell you that it was there.
Absolutely. So this is a very common issue with multiple school districts. We usually take the description column out before even showing it to you, and let me see if I went ahead and did that. Yes, I did. So the description column's already out of there.
Okay.
It's not a necessary piece of information, and you guys are not alone in that. So
okay, that was not, one that really concerned us.
Yeah, it's not worth the risk to us either. So we just take it out of there. It does come in your file, but once we've removed the column option from the site, it can never be loaded or viewed onto the,
okay,
site. Okay. So over here in our filters and views tab, we've got a couple just basic ones that we do here. We've got spending by fund, so you can see the breakdown. And then we have general fund expenses. Again, these are very standard. We add these to any district's checkbook site. But what we can do, and what I've done for multiple districts too, is we can break down some graphs into, you know, high school, middle school, or elementary. It's gonna depend on if the way that you have sorted your accounting is compatible with that. So if that's an accurate depiction, basically, of elementary school expenses or middle school or what have you. But we can create those saved views. So if, you know, someone had elementary here and clicked on it, it would bring you to a graph that displays elementary expenditures. So it's really just a great way to navigate users to the site instead of having them click around.
So a question for you on that aspect there. So if there are things that aren't broken down, how does, you know, if there's a general expenditure that is not broken down into, mm-hmm, high school, elementary, middle,
sure,
how does that affect that numbers? Or is that only showing things that are labeled as elementary, high school?
Sure. So in this case, you know, you already have, you know, elementary, middle school, and high school, mm-hmm, here. So if I were creating that save view, what I would do is I would click in elementary. For the filters, I would probably break it down by maybe object description to give that graph some color. And that would be our saved view for elementary school expenses. So I would have Stephanie do is look through that and say, okay, is that all encompassing of the major facets to our elementary school expenditures? And if she says yes, then that's a saved view we can create. And then parents or,
okay,
community members can see, oh, elementary school expenses.
Is that what you were thinking of, or more of?
I was kind of thinking, you know, we, you know,
like a district-wide expense.
Yeah, like there's and
paper.
I'll just say, yeah, we buy paper.
Yep.
It's,
yep,
obviously not broken down by building.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
So where does that fall?
So it wouldn't, if we were creating those savings, it most likely would.
And I'm just looking for, you know, I'll be definitely double advocate here that, you know, some, you know, you go through and you add up this number, that number, that number, and it doesn't end up with.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
So just that there are things that don't fall.
Right, and that's why, with save views, we never create those automatically for school specifics, because everyone sort of keeps their books a little bit differently. It's never like comparing apples to apples. Okay.
Well, in the district-wide expenditures, there used to be something that the Ohio Department of Education would create. It was called an expenditure flow model. So it would take your expenditures that you had, like say we bought paper district-wide, because we're not going to guess how much each building gets, and then it would take it and then break it down by the number of students, but it would take those that money and distribute it, like my salary, Dana's, some of those kind of things. It gets spread out all over everything. Well, they don't do the expenditure flow model anymore. They have some other things that they use when they do our report card. Well, then when you look at the report card and it talks about expenditures per student, expenditures for the high school, expenditures everywhere else, it's going to give you a number that I can't even come up with, because they have their model, and then it's never going to match the model that she has, because everybody's looking at something different.
Right,
and those were the things that we were kind of fearing, was just everybody's looking at it a little bit differently and the numbers don't necessarily match.
Right.
We understand why they don't. But will the general community understand why they're not the same numbers?
And all I can say to that is it's, and we try to do a good job of when we are engaging community members to say that this is not like comparing apples to apples. You know, you're not going to get the same numbers here from another district or even another report. Because really what this is an exact representation of how you all keep your books. This mm-hmm. isn't an outside observation or evaluation of what you guys are doing. And, you know, we're not pulling different numbers and drafting up reports. This is your data that you use every day.
And the report card is a good example of where it won't match anything.
Right. And it is. But, you know, to that, though, I haven't had one district have an issue with that. I have not had one district. Typically, and what I think you're going to find, you are going to have your active community members. But people usually just like knowing that you guys are participating. It builds another level of trust. And because this is such an in-depth view and a broken down view of your actual accounting software, I mean, that really speaks volumes to the work that you're doing. With the report cards, I think it can be said, those are reports that are created from your numbers. That's not just displaying your day-to-day numbers that you use. That is really all this is. It's a raw data upload. We don't do anything to it. The only thing we'll do to it is redact those names if you want us to. Outside of that, it's exactly how you keep your books. And I think that usually tells a better story than the discrepancy of, well, this doesn't match the report card. This does not. Typically, this is going to tell a better story. And that's a decision you all have to make. I mean, that's another reason, too, that it's a voluntary program.
Has that been the most common concern with the districts and whether to use it or not use it? Or has there been some other thing that districts have been concerned about?
So a big concern from the districts is time. And then they go with onboarding and realize that it is a fast process. That's probably my number one concern. I will say the second, too, is we have people who use this to pass levies, and then we have people who are fearful that it won't allow them to pass a levy. It really depends on the community attitude and how people are viewing the office or the district currently. When we have districts where it's a little more contentious, that will be a concern. Again, we usually do our best to try to put that at ease. We have never had a direct correlation between a levy family and somebody participating in the checkbook program. If anything, it's only helped. But I think that's just it's a concern. I mean, it's information that is all public, but it's put in an interactive online format. I think with that, if you have a current contentious relationship within the community, it's going to stir up some of those insecurities. That's probably second to the time requirement, the biggest concern that I.
And with respect to the time, is there just like a short training
yep,
session so this, or something like
this,
that?
This demo right now is serving in place of what I would typically do, which is a screen share with the treasurer. So this is acting in place of that, Stephanie. And after...
So we go online tomorrow.
Okay.
So after that, I sort of will turn the keys over to her. She'll get that link. She'll get the password. And she'll be able to independently look at the site. And that time frame just depends on your comfortability with it. We could have it published by Friday, or we could have that, you know, published 2 months from now. Really, it depends on your preference. As far as time goes, it's already set up. So we're already, my job is mostly done. Any other questions?
So, Stephanie, is there stuff that you've seen right there that you don't already have on our site? I mean, obviously, the interactive site is, you know, whistles and bells that we don't have. That
we have the checks on our site. What we would not have would be the totals. As far as she hovered over something and showed, can you do that again where you hovered over the... Well, it did a minute ago where it came up with the total like that.
See,
those are the kind of things that we wouldn't have where you could go on and say, how much did we spend at the elementary building?
Right. So if we clicked into elementary...
What we have are the check numbers, who it was written to, how much the check was for.
Okay.
But this is more detailed. Now, does this say anything about... This doesn't list check numbers or any of that kind of stuff?
So does it? So if we go over here, now we're under our filters tab. We click into columns. We can add check number as a column. Everything that currently has a check mark next to it is what's being displayed, but everything here is also available for you to click on and take a peek at.
And is that strictly under your control, or can Stephanie get into that filter also?
Yep, Stephanie can get into that as well.
That's the actual site.
It's functioning as if I were just a public user.
I was saying, can anyone get into that?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you show like only what you want as a column? Like if you wanted to take check number away, for example, you take that away?
So again, too, the columns are also customizable. So if you see columns in there you're not really comfortable displaying, we can remove those so that the public wouldn't be able to view it, much like we did with...
Now, your function descriptions are from the USAS manual, is that correct?
Yep.
That was one of the things that some of the treasurers that I spoke to said, because they're some of them are a little broad, or some of them are a little descriptive, where some of it, you get into the local control as far as other. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Transportation other. You have transportation special ed, you have transportation supervisor, and there are all these certain numbers that you use. Then you get into one that's other. Well, we may make it something very specific for us. So just to keep track of things so that we know that, okay, I can run this number. And transportation is a great one for us because we have to do the T2 at the end of the year. So we try to make numbers specific just for us. So I can go in and I can say, oh, we use this much for tires. We bought this much for rags or whatever. I made all these special account numbers so we can run it really simple and quick at the end of the year. But then when it comes up here, it may say something different than what we're using it for. So that was one of our concerns.
If you're currently keeping your books that way, that should not be an issue.
And it's not changing anything that's out of USAS and taking it to a totally different place. It just may be using some of those
Right. And that is something I would have you go through when you're reviewing the site on your own. If you are typically coding it that way already, though, because we use your account string, and that's how we extract all of our descriptions. So if you have a special description that you've customized, it should be reflective in here.
Or your special cost centers, you know, those aren't required. So if you're using those for something specific, is that... Those were just the issues when I've talked to treasurers, that they were saying that they used it for something specific, but then when it comes up there, because you're using those strict codes, local control can change it, not change the codes, but do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. I know exactly what you're saying. So I'm not sure if these are districts that have come back to us with that concern, because typically what I would recommend doing in that situation is you telling me what those descriptions should be, and that being another situation, again, much like the redactions, where I go and customize that.
So just look at them a lot closer. Yeah, and because again, closer. That was one of the big concerns that we had heard.
And all of those descriptions are, because we do pull the base from the USAS manual, all of those are also going to be customizable too. I just need to know what they need to be. And what I can do then is I can create a chart of accounts, which will prevent us from going through that every time we send an update file. We just need to remap that number that's associated with your account string and the description
okay.
that correlates with it. So if you run into that, let me know. I would be interested to see if you do. So click into some of those ones that you're concerned about, start off with the search bar, and then we'll go from there if any of those changes need to be made. All right. And then same with the columns too. When you do have a moment, I would encourage you just to click through these, click on any of them just to see what displays. Right now we've got check number down here, so you can see, obviously those are check numbers. See how those all display. If there's one outside of the two that are grayed out, so the amount and the transaction date, those are required to display. We will not remove those. If there's anything outside of that that you don't want displayed, we can take that out. That's not an issue. I will say the standard is, let me remove check number here. The standard is these columns. I mean, every district's gonna have the same columns that you're looking at right now that are already selected. So removing any functionality from those columns that are currently listed isn't something I would probably recommend, but anything that's not selected right now, we can take away without any issues.
How long has this been in place?
So 2015 for the local sites. Mm-hmm. So quite some time. And really, you know, the state site gained so much popularity, it kind of became something that was requested a lot. So if you ever get some time to check out the actual state's checkbook site, it's a little cooler than the local sites right now. So I'm still working through that. But it's very interesting to pop on there and take a look. And actually, one of the features here, let's see if I have your guys' mapped, that was really popular on the state site that was requested for the locals is this view check details. So when you click on that, you get a check representation of the transaction, just kind of an easier to understand format there.
Slick.
No very, account very numbers, slick. Or numbers yeah. or anything like that. Yeah. just a representation. Yeah.
I need this for my wife's check.
And then as far as the filters tab, I won't belabor this one too much. Again, this is one that's great to kind of poke around on your own. You have the broken down by option here. You can see what it's currently being broken down by, or you can change that. It's another thing that we can make an adjustment to for the default view of the site. So if you like the way that object description is appearing better than function description, fine, we can do that too. And we do have districts that are broken down by object description as a default view. Same with value and fund number, fund description. Same with that, so. And lastly, I just want to strum through the line by line. The columns down here, you know, I've already showed you the check representation, which is definitely the coolest part about this section. But each column is equipped with a drop-down arrow, so you can really drill into a month or two of spending if you wanted to. You would pick your date, go into it. No, we wouldn't be in 2018. We'd go in 2018. First, let's go in 2018. Go into March 31st. Click OK. You'll see here it's going to restrict the graph. It's going to change the line by line to display those 3 months of expenditures. So you can definitely hone into the information a little better by going under transaction date than you can clicking into the graph. If it doesn't contain numbers, it's equipped with a search bar. You can hide the column, you can resort. That's just to add to some of the user friendliness of it. And then again, with the amount here, you're going to get another option to restrict. And then if you click on any box, you'll get the option to search for that specific description as well. And then again, you can view those check details. Outside of that, you can swap anything around just to make it fit your needs as a viewer. And that really pretty much sums up the site. You know, what I'll leave you with is when you do have the option to take a look at the site, start with this 4 inches of the screen. I mean, really, the reset button and the dual-style search bar, such a great place to start. It's going to bring up any of those things you have questions or concerns with. And then just come back to me with those, and we'll figure out a solution before we publish the site. That's why the password is protected right now, to never have all those kinks before it goes live.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, this is great.
Thank you so much.
So well done. Thank you.
Yes,
not
this is
not a problem at all. Thank you so much for
wow. Have you gotten applause for past presentations?
No, I can't say that I have.
Well, this is definitely more information than we have ever received on it. So it's very eye-opening, I think, for all of us to see everything that can be done with it.
Well, good. Yeah, and we offer white glove service for the site, so anything you all want to do with it, we'll get you there, I assure you of that. And this is where I would typically leave you with business cards, but since I'm in the middle of an administration change, I only have ones that say the previous treasurer's name. So Stephanie does have my contact information. You all are more than welcome to contact me directly with any questions or anything like that. Okay.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Taylor.
Thank you. I'm going to try and sneak out here without making too much
noise. Oh, you're fine. Thank you.
No. After the board.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to.
Yeah, I would agree.
Just wait till the next meeting.
Okay. All right. Item 5, superintendent's recommendations. Do you have anything,
none,
Dana?
This time, no.
Okay. All right. Unless there's any objection, we'll just move the executive session to the end of the regular board meeting. Okay, so at this time, can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Ings?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.